Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, the show that brings you man-on-the-street interviews, celebrity guests, and groundbreaking research. Our show is also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. I'm general dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, and thank you for joining me today.
The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, or parent company. To hear a replay of this show or one of the other great shows that previously aired, log on to dentallyspeaking.com or iTunes, keywords Dr. Kvitko or Dentally Speaking. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kvitko.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Dentally Speaking. Thank you so much for joining me. Really appreciate it. Today is show number 372, and today, in honor of Children's Dental Health Month, we are welcoming Dr. Paul Casamassimo to the studio. He's the professor. He's a professor and director at the Ohio State University Dentistry College of, Division of Pediatric Dentistry at OSU, right? And also, you are an attending, you call it attending, at Riverside, It's early. I got up early. Anyway, at Nationwide Children's Hospital. All right. He's authored over 300 publications, including 3 books, 31 text chapters, and 7 monographs in the areas of pediatric dentistry, care of children with special health needs, and dental education. That's pretty cool. Thank you so much for getting up and joining me today.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Now, how did Children's Dental Health Month come about? Whose idea was it? When did we start that? I don't remember.
I believe it was the American Dental Association, and they began it with a day. You know, almost every cause has a day.
Right.
And then it was so successful, and I think even at a local level, local dental societies and groups around the country said, we want more than a day, and so it became Children's Dental Health Month. And so throughout the month in different places around the country, you have clinics run and educational programs and that kind of thing.
Yeah. It's neat to bring awareness because I guess one of the things that I would think after a while, parents would just know this stuff. But then I thought about it, and it's just like, so you keep having new parents come around, like people keep having kids. And so the people we were talking to 10 years ago, they already know this, their kids are grown. Well, now we have new young parents who don't know, because when I was talking on the show last week about not letting children go to bed with a sippy cup or something that has juice or milk or a bottle with milk, I had a couple of people contact me and said, I didn't know that. I'm so glad you said that. So let's talk about what parents should do to make sure their child grows up with, nice white healthy teeth and gums, not white gums, but white teeth, healthy gums, and, you know, can make it into adulthood without having to deal with these cavities, these abscesses and things. So what would be the things that people should do?
Well, the first thing, which is, I think, very unusual from most people's perspective, is to begin dental visits for your child at 1 year of age.
Yes, 1 o'clock. Well, one, because you want to check the gum pads, right?
Check, well, and they should have a few teeth by then.
Okay.
But that's the problem with tooth decay that we see in many kids begins when there are teeth present. So we want to intervene as early as possible. And so that window from 6 months to 12 months of age is a good place to start. And there are a lot of things that are happening, bottle feeding, sleeping with a bottle, those kinds of things that happen or are happening during that period of time that need to be talked about. So we recommend that you talk to your dentist about your child and ideally bring your child to the dentist by 1 year of age.
Okay. And some parents think that, in fact, some parents think it's 3.5 because they look at the child and go, they're never going to behave. They're never going to sit in the chair. I can't even get them to listen to me. How am I going to get them to listen to the dentist? But 1 year.
1 year. And we don't worry about that. We expect the child's going to cry and they're not going to be happy about it. But we just want to get a quick look. And we want to spend most of our time, like when a family takes a child to the pediatrician, talking to mom and dad about what they need to do at home.
Right. Okay. And so what would the next thing be? I think there's probably 5, 6, 7, or 8 important things that
yes.
we want to cover. What would the next one be?
Well, the next one would be some things like fluoride. And there's always a debate about fluoride, and the most successful preventive technique we have in dentistry. In fact, American Public Health Association said it's one of the 10 most important public health measures
that's ever been taken.
And that is water fluoridation.
It's right up there with penicillin, right?
Absolutely. And so to be sure that your child is getting exposed to fluoridated water or supplements, if you're on well water or don't have that opportunity to have fluoride in your water. Now, most of Ohio has fluoridated water systems, so it's kind of hard unless you live in a rural area not to be exposed to fluoride water. But the thing that's happening today is people are moving to bottled water.
Right, right.
And so very often you can live in a fluoridated area and your child's really not getting enough fluoride because you're giving them bottled water. So that's another thing to talk to your dentist about at that first visit.
The other would be those home water filtration systems.
Yes, some of those systems will take fluoride out.
Because if it's deionizing, it's a deionizing type system. Well, fluoride is an ion, so it's taking the fluoride out.
That's correct. And so what we recommend is to take some of that water and have it measured for fluoride content as it comes out of the spigot.
And the way you do that is what, the County Extension Service,
they
I believe?
They can do that, or the health department do that. And or your dentist potentially could get you connected with a testing agency and do that.
Okay, good. All right, so we've talked about making sure you bring your child to the dentist by age one, making sure they have fluoride. And by the way, if you have well water and there's no fluoride in your water, then you need to have it added either to making up yourself with the fluoride drops that we can prescribe called Luride, mm-hmm. or you could just put two or three drops in their mouth based on their age.
Sure. There are many ways to do it. And again, that's why you talk to the dentist about your particular child. What would they like best? And so you figure out what the vehicle is for administration of fluoride. So the next thing is to brush your child's teeth. As soon as that first little tooth appears down in the front, in the bottom, is to begin brushing with fluoride toothpaste.
Right.
So after water fluoridation, the other type of fluoride exposure that's recommended for all human beings is brushing twice a day with a fluoridated toothpaste, once in the morning and then once right before bed.
Right. And for children under the age of one, I believe it's a size, a rice grain size?
Rice grain size of toothpaste. You don't need a lot because
right.
you've only got a few teeth in there. So the important part is that you brush the teeth with that, and then don't rinse, just let the residue of the fluoride toothpaste stay in the mouth.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. So now what about when the children are sent to bed? Because for one thing is people don't realize that even though it's breast milk, if they're breastfeeding, mm-hmm. that still has sugar. There's lactose in there. That's still, it's milk sugar, and that's not good.
The recommendation is that a child never be put to bed with a bottle, period. That's easier said than done. Those of us who have had children know that. But then the fallback or default position is to not put a child to bed with a bottle that has any sugar-containing liquid in it. Breast milk, cow's milk, pop, Gatorade, anything.
No juice, no apple juice, no orange juice, nothing.
Right.
Just water.
Just water if you have to put a child to bed with a bottle.
Okay. And then what about diet for children?
Well, diet is important, and you know, we as Americans are eating more and more sugar and consuming more and more sugar, and it begins early in life. And so some of the research that's out there suggests that even in a middle-class family, children are drinking more pop at 1 year or 2 years of age than milk.
Wow,
And so we really have to be cognizant of the effect on that of that sugar intake, not only on teeth, but on obesity and other factors. So the research also says that if you are exposed to sugar three times a day, that's the maximum, that's the threshold after which four times, five times, six times a day, where you become at greater risk for tooth decay.
Oh,
so if
okay.
you can keep sugar intake to mealtime,
yes,
or to maybe one or two snacks, but have a total exposure to sugar three times, then you're probably right at the limit, right at the threshold.
Okay. That's a stat that I had not yet heard. That's interesting. And we're talking about, it looks like we have to, well, you know what? Let's go ahead and do Dr. Kavitko's question of the day here soon. But before we do, you may want to remember that the most important things that you can do as a parent to ensure that your child has healthy teeth and gums are: make sure they have fluoride in their drinking water, and if there is none, that they receive fluoride supplements. 2, make sure their teeth are brushed for 2 minutes twice a day and don't forget to floss. Make sure that they are not sent to bed with a bottle or sippy cup of juice, milk, or anything but water. Make sure they are not allowed to fall asleep with breast milk still in their mouth. Limit their intake of sugary foods to 3 times per day. And take them for regular dental visits, beginning as early as age 1, but no later than age 3. All right? Before we do the contest, we want you to listen to this.
This station will not be held liable for any contesting during Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko. Participation in the contest allows Dr. Kavitko to record and broadcast your name and call. 1 winner per household, prizes are non-transferable, cannot be substituted, and are subject to taxes and fees. This station cannot be responsible for the inability to enter the contest, whether due to equipment malfunction or telephone difficulties. All decisions of Dr. Kavitko concerning this contest or eligibility are final.
Come on and smile, it's a fact. When you do yours, get one back. It's the little things that make this life worthwhile. Come on and smile, it's
and now it's time for Dr. Kavitko's question of the day.
All right, and let me remind everyone that the winner will receive free flowers from Weistember Florist. They'll be delivered to your place of business this Tuesday afternoon. All right. The question of the day is, the most important things you can do as a parent to ensure that your child has healthy teeth and gums are: A, make sure they have fluoride in their drinking water, and if there is none, that they receive fluoride supplements. B, make sure their teeth are brushed for 2 minutes twice a day and don't forget to floss. C, make sure that they are not sent to bed with a bottle or sippy cup of juice, milk, or anything but water. D, make sure they are not allowed to fall asleep with breast milk still in their mouth. E, limit their sugary intake to 3 times a day. F, take them for regular dental visits beginning as early as age 1 but no later than age 3. Or D, not D, G, all of the above. All right, the winner receives free flowers from Weistember Florist, delivered to your place of business this Tuesday afternoon. The number to call, 459-9769. That's 459-9769. So go ahead and call now.
Stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko.
At Dr. Kavitko & Associates, a lot of people ask us if we're accepting new patients. They know we've been in business for 34 years and assume we're not. Well, guess what? They're wrong. We do accept new patients. After all, if we're doing our job correctly, we get our patients healthy, so all they need are routine exams, cleanings, and the occasional filling or two. That leaves us free to take care of you. So yes, we do take new patients, and we would love to take care of you, your family, and your friends. Give us a call at 614-262-9588 or go to drkavitko.com.
Dentally Speaking is his talk show. Dr. Kavitko, let's go!
What's your favorite color? Tell us, please.
Kids will spend 20 minutes listening to songs like this.
What's your favorite color? What's your...
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes twice a day. They have the time. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
I'd bet everyone knows someone who is afraid of the dentist. In fact, 40% of Americans don't go to the dentist on a regular basis. The number one reason? Fear. Well, take heart. Here at Dr. Kavitko & Associates, we've been doing intravenous sedation since 1985, and we offer several sedation options, so we're certain we can help you. Want to be sedated for a filling? We do that. Want to be sedated for a cleaning? We do that. How about a root canal or a crown? We can sedate you for those too. Give us a call at 614-262-9588 or go to drkavitko.com.
Estás escuchando Dentally Speaking con Dr. Kavitko aquí en su estación favorita.
All right. We are doing Dr. Kavitko's question of the day, and we have callers on the line. We have Sarah, Mike, Carrie, and Kevin. And so let's go to Sarah. Sarah, how are you today?
I'm good, Dr. Kavika. How are you?
Good. Thank you for listening, first of all, and thank you for calling in. So tell me, do you know the answer to today's Dr. Kavitko question of the day?
It's G.
All of the above, right?
Yep.
Good. Did you already know that, or did you just learn this morning?
I just learned it this morning.
Well, that's good to know. That's good to know. I'm glad we have Dr. Casamassimo on. Okay, well, you
see. Hi to him, too.
Thanks. So, hey, stay on the phone. We'll get the information about where to send those flowers, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much. All right. If you're just joining us, I'm Dr. Kavitko. This is Stanley speaking. Today we are discussing children's dental health with Dr. Paul Casamassimo of the Ohio State University and Nationwide Children's Hospital. And so we talked about the things that parents should do to make sure their children can stay healthy. Now I want to talk a little bit about pediatric dentistry in general. So tell me about pediatric dentistry. What is it? How does it differ from general dentistry?
Pediatric dentistry is one of the recognized specialties of the dental profession, just like pediatrics is a recognized specialty of medicine. So a pediatric dentist has gone to dental school and graduated with a doctor of dental surgery or doctor of dental medicine degree, but then chooses to go for at least 2, maybe 3 years additional training to learn more about working specifically with children and secondarily to children and even some adults who have special needs.
Okay. So why is there a difference? Some programs are only 2 years and some are 3?
Yes, some are more research-oriented,
okay,
and others are based in hospitals, so that it follows a residency pattern of 2 years where it's much more intensive clinical care as opposed to a research-based, university-based type of program.
So the ones that are 2 are the residency type, keying in on care, patient
That's
care,
right.
And the ones that are 3 are for the people that want to go into research when they're finished?
Yes, or academics, and
okay.
They spend a little more time learning how to do research related to children and other aspects of dentistry.
Now, one of the things I remember from dental school is, it was taught by a pediatric dentist, of course, is the different types of crying, learning how to understand when a child is crying. Are they afraid? Are they in pain? Are they stubborn? There's a stubborn cry, right? Tell me about that.
There's a belief that you can tell, and I think after years of practice, you can tell whether a child is whining, crying, truly fearful, or doing compensatory crying, because that's how they handle stress. And we see situations where children cry, but when you ask them to open their mouth and do this and that, they do it.
Right.
They continue to cry.
So the message I want to put out there is for parents is because your child is crying doesn't necessarily mean they're in pain, that they're being hurt. And I've actually done this before. Well, I'll turn on the drill or whatever it is we're about to use, and I'll hold it about an inch away from the tooth. And mom's in the room, of course, because I always want them back in the room. And the child will start to cry, and I'll say, "Do you see this?" And they look at me like, "Yeah, I see that. You're not even touching my child." Do you recommend that?
You know, that's I've done the same thing, and it does help the parent to understand. And I go back to a kind of a changing belief when I was trained, and maybe when you were trained, Dr. Kavitko, that a child was not really allowed to cry, or it was effort was made to not have a child cry. And today we recognize that children cry, but if we can get the job done and train them over time to be good patients, we don't really care if they cry.
Right, right. And it's more just showing compassion. I know, honey, I know it's scary kind of a thing, and it'll be over soon, right? That kind of thing.
Yeah, and we use distraction and reinforcement and those kinds of things to get the child to cooperate.
I'll tell you what, we have our televisions on the ceiling, and a lot of offices now have those. We had them on the side of the chair for several years, and then later I added the ceiling. So now I have both. And I used to you'd have special names for the suction tip, which was, Mr. Straw or a magic straw or whatever, and you do all this, and you're going to get a ride in the magic chair. Once I put those TVs up on the ceiling, the kids just kind of open their eyes and their mouth, and they look up and they watch cartoons, and I almost never have to do that anymore. How about you?
That's absolutely true. And the other thing we see is they don't want to leave.
Exactly. Luckily, we have 10 treatment rooms, so I say, well, you can stay and watch the rest of your cartoon. We're done, but we don't need this room right away. So, okay. Now, I was doing some research, and I discovered that, unless this is outdated number, these are outdated numbers, when it comes to the number of pediatric dentists per 1,000 I'm sorry, 100,000 patients or population, children under the age of 18, Ohio is 36th in the nation. Is that still true?
It might be. I've never heard that statistic, but pediatric dentists are the proud and the few. So there's probably about 6,000 or 7,000 pediatric dentists nationwide, somewhere in that area. So the ratio of pediatric dentists to population is pretty significant, I mean, in terms of literally 100,000 or more patients to each pediatric dentist.
Yeah, I think in the case of Ohio, there's 3.36 per 100,000.
That could be true.
Wow. That's not very many. So therefore, there is a need then for your general dentist to be able to work on children as well. Am I right?
Absolutely. And our specialty is maybe the only one that encourages families to seek care for their children at general dentists. And we see the child who has difficulty cooperating or who may have special needs or a medical problem. That's who we see.
Okay.
So we encourage people like you, Dr. K, to see as many kids as you possibly can.
And we do. And we do. And I you were talking about how when I was being trained, we did try to have the child not cry. But very quickly, before I even graduated, I realized that was not, I was going to change the way I did it. I was listening to what they were teaching me going, I don't think that's the right way. And luckily, I kind of was foreseeing the future because they are going to cry. And you just kind of make them as comfortable as you can. You make sure you're not hurting them, but you make sure it's not as scary. And the way I do it is, you know, if you just show a lot of compassion and you never actually show anger, then they do great. And it's funny because even these kids that they'll cry like crazy because they're afraid, if you do it with compassion and you didn't hurt them, when I didn't, like the last time this happened, I was just flabbergasted because I got a call from the parent and I thought, oh, here it comes. She's going to, you know, give me what for because her child had this terrible experience. She goes, I don't know what you did to her, but all she talks about is when can I go back and see Dr. Vitko? She can't say my name, but she just, you know, she just wants to come back. And that was just so rewarding because it showed me that what we did worked.
And we know that's true. We know that nonverbal communication, the smile, the gentle touch, those kinds of things. And also the tenor of your voice goes a long way. Many of these small children, the ones who are two or three, they don't have a huge vocabulary. And so they're what you tell them, some of it goes right past them. And it's really how that smile on your face like you have right now is really what turns the corner for some of those kids.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Looks like we have to go to another break. We are with Dr. Paul Casamassimo. He is a pediatric dentist. In fact, I'm going to read more of his bio when we come back because it's very impressive. But we'll be right back.
This is Clark Kellogg. Stay tuned for more of Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko.
Vous écoutez à la radio du dentiste avec Dr. Kavitko ici sur votre radio préférée.
Here at Dr. Kavitko & Associates, we are intensely dedicated to providing the absolute best dental care. The word mediocre isn't in our vocabulary. We just won't take shortcuts. Isn't that what you want in the person you trust with sharp objects in your mouth? Of course it is. However, people tend to assume high quality means expensive. But guess what? We're more affordable than you think. Our fees are about the same as one of those chains. But with us, you get our 34 years of experience and our unwavering commitment to quality. Discover for yourself. Call us at 614-262-9588.
Hi, I'm Dominique Reigert. Like what you hear? Why not use the Dentally Speaking Show to promote your product or service by becoming a sponsor? Call us 614-262-9588 to learn how. That's 614-262-9588. Call now or send an email to drkavitko@aol.com.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kavitko.
Are your teeth crooked? And while you would like them straight, there's no way you would wear braces for 2 years. What if I told you that you could straighten your teeth in 6 months between now and your next cleaning? Would you be interested? Call us today at 614-262-9588.
You're so annoying.
Annoying.
Stop copying me. Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes, twice a day. They have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
I'm Grandpa! And I go to Dr. Kvitko and I still have all my teeth. Real ones. Where's my glasses?
Brush your teeth. Keep them looking clean and bright.
Brush, brush it, brush, 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 brush,
brush your teeth.
All right, you're listening to Dentally Speaking. I'm Dr. Kvitko, and Dr. Casamassimo is with us in the studio. Let me tell you a little bit more about Dr. Casamassimo. He's kind of the preeminent authority of pediatric dentistry. We're very lucky to have him right here in Columbus, Ohio. He received his dental degree from Georgetown University in 1974 and a Master's of Science and Certificate in Pediatric Dentistry from the University of Iowa in 1976. He has taught at the University of Iowa College of Dentistry and the University of Colorado School of Dentistry. He's the former editor-in-chief of the American Academy of Pediatric Dentistry and its journal, Pediatric Dentistry, and also a past president of the American Academy of Pediatric Dentistry, also known as AAPD. Dr. Casamassimo is the past president of the Academy of Dentistry for the Handicapped and past editor of the Journal of Dentistry for the Handicapped and the Journal of Dentistry for Children. Pretty cool. You've been a busy guy.
I like to stay out of trouble.
Is that what your wife says? Go to work, stay out of trouble?
That's correct.
I'll go shopping. Is it like that?
Well, she's listening, so I'm going to say no.
Oh, okay. No, she would never do that. All right, so tell me, what would you say is the biggest advance in the way we deliver dental care to children over the last decade or two? I'm sure it's not the televisions, although that was a big hill, but is there anything else out there?
You know, there are quite a few. The first one, I think, which many of your listeners will have experienced if they're young enough or their children have, and that is the use of dental sealants.
Okay. And, yeah, we forgot sealants, didn't we?
Yeah. Sealants are a preventive technique that they're plastic coatings that are put on the biting surfaces of usually newly erupted permanent molars. And about 80% of tooth decay in permanent teeth occurs on those biting surfaces. And so it's a tremendous way to reduce cavities in children and adolescents. The other part of it is they can be applied relatively painlessly. It's almost like painting your fingernails.
Right.
And it's a pretty simple technique. Very, very effective. So that's probably, in my mind, the biggest one. Another is the recognition that children will respond to mild pharmacological agents like nitrous oxide or laughing gas,
right,
which is a very safe, totally reversible type of relaxing agent that can be used. And in fact, most general dentists have access to that. It can really reduce the anxiety a child has experienced and allow the dentist and child to work together to get the job done.
If somebody has more questions, what do you suggest they do? Do you suggest they go online, they contact either Children's Hospital, Nationwide Children's, or OSU? What would you say?
Well, if people have more questions, the best source of information is their dentist. The internet, as you know, is a roll of the dice
in many cases.
And so you really have to be careful with the information you get there. Professional organizations, the Ohio Dental Association, the AAPD, or the American Academy of Pediatric Dentistry, both of those have good consumer information available online, and I would encourage people to seek that those two sources.
Perfect. Well, Dr. Casamassimo, thank you so much for getting up and being on my show. I really appreciate it. Appreciate everything you do for children's dentistry out there, and keep up the good work.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. Okay, that's about all the time we have. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Dr. Kvitko. Be sure to join me next Sunday and every Sunday morning right here on your favorite station. Goodbye.
Brush, brush, and brush. Thought you should never swallow it. Brush, brush, and brush. You got, spit it out. Don't let it spit. We'll wait for it. Brush your teeth.
This is Carly Red from Love & Hip Hop Atlanta, the hit show on VH1,
urging you to tune in next week for another exciting episode of Dentally Speaking with my dentist, Dr. Kavitko.
If you're interested in learning more about this and other dental health topics, go to dentallyspeaking.com to access full episodes of Dr. Kavitko's show.
If you would like to book Dr. Kavitko to speak at your next event, please call 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. Or send an email to drkavitko@dentallyspeaking.com. That's drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com.